Okie dokie, welcome to Linux Lecture 3, and today we're talking about, you guessed it, Linux. Now, before we get started, yeah, this is a bit of a revelation to everybody, okay? Before we get started, does anybody have any pending questions from any of the last week's two lectures on Linux, or any pending questions on Linux whatsoever?
No.
Alrighty. That makes my job somewhat easier. Alrighty. Okay, today we are going to take a look at the chmod command and file permissions. Hang on. Grace has parked on my headphones. Okay. Let us boot our virtual machine. And we are booting the base etch stable. And we'll just wait for my virtual machine to come up. Okay. No, you only need one copy of VMware Workstation open. Ah, fair enough. You sure you don't want to wait till morning too? Because this is only going to be a short lecture.
No, I'm okay.
Okie dokie. I'm just finding the... And we're logging in as Noddy and user. Yeah, pretty much. Alrighty, have you got your virtual machine booted? Alrighty, you should be sitting at noddy at etchtest tilde dollar. And if you do an ls, you should have a test.txt in your home directory. Alrighty. Now, what we are going to do is we're going to have a look at... we're going to go ls space dash l, which gives us a long list, space test.txt. And we are looking at the first part of that line, which should say dash rw dash r dash dash r dash dash. And to get to that, for people who are listening to the lecture off air, you go JAWS cursor, root JAWS to PC, so that's numpad minus, insert numpad minus, and then up arrow until you get to the LS line, and then use control 4, control 6 to move your cursor by words. I have to drop my sensitivity. This is a bit sensitive. That's better. Okie dokie. Did you find that section of line we're looking at?
Yep.
Okay. Now, in Unix, we have three sets of permissions. I have mentioned this briefly before, but we're going to do a little bit more on it today because it is a key... it's a key understanding that you need for the operating system. Now, if we look at the left-hand side of the line, we have dash rw dash is the bit we're looking at. Now, the first character in the permissions group tells you what sort of file it is. If the character is a dash, it's a file. If the character is a D, it's a directory. If the character is a P, it's a named pipe. If it's a C, it's a character device, etc. Now, the next three characters, which say RW dash, say that the user has read permission, and we'll get to who the user is in a moment. After that, we have R dash dash, which says that the group who owns this file has read permission. And we go R dash dash, which says that the other, anybody else on the system, has read permission, which means anybody on the system can read this file. So with me so far on that? Then we have 1, which says that's the number of link counts pointing to the file. And it says noddy noddy, which means it's owned by the user noddy, and it's owned by the group noddy. The next field is 53 on mine, which means that it's 53 bytes long. 2009-28-1805, because the time on the virtual machine is a bit wacky.
Mine's 1806.
Well, there you go. And we might even look at how to fix the time on the virtual machine in a minute. In fact, all right, we'll get to that in a minute. Because what does it reckon the time is now? 17 whatever. November 4. Yeah, it looks like it's... looks like the time is about 10 hours out. Okay. Now, let's say, for example, so as you said, we've got user permissions, group permissions, and other permissions. Now, when we are actually specifying the permissions in Unix, we actually specify them in octal, which is base 8, which means in number from 0 to 7. It's a bit like base 2, except it's base 8. And basically what we say is 4 is for read, 2 is for write, and 1 is for execute. So we add those numbers up, and that gives us the permission mask we want. So which permissions would we have if we had the number 7?
Everything.
Which are?
Read, write, and execute.
Okie dokie. Now say, for example, we want to stop everybody else and the group from reading this file. We can go chmod, 700, space 700, space, test.txt. Then if you up, and then once you've done that, if you up arrow twice, can you see what's happened to the permissions?
Yeah, nobody else can read it. Nobody else has any permissions on it.
Yep, and it has RWX dash 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 dash, which means that the user has full permissions on it and nobody else has. Now say, for example, we want to set it so that the user can write to it and everybody else can just read it. Can you think of what the number for that would be?
Wouldn't it be 600?
No. What you want is you want the user to be able to do anything you want to it, so read, write, and execute, and you want everybody to be able to read it.
711 then.
No, that's execute. Guess again.
722.
No, that's writable.
Okay,
guess again.
That's 755, doesn't it?
No.
No.
744.
I can't do math.
Because the 4 is the read. Remember, read is 4, write is 2, execute is 1.
Okay.
So we go chmod 744 test.txt. And then we rerun our ls on that. So you should have dash rwx r dash 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 r dash dash. What have you got? ls-l space t-tab. Dash-dash.
Dash. Yep.
That's correct. I'm trying to remember whether the sensitivity... I'm going to have to decrease the sensitivity even more, I think. Check to... that's... Okie dokie, let's see if that's any better. One, two, yeah, that's better. Okay. So, 4 is for read, 2 is for write, 1 is for execute. So to be able to set any permissions you want, you add the numbers together for the particular permissions group that you want, and you then put that in the groups of 3 in the order user, group, other. So what would happen if we chmodded it 770?
Users and groups could do anything, and other people would have no access.
Yes, and what would be the permissions string that you would see in LS?
I think you'd see RWX, and then RWX, and then 3 dashes.
That is absolutely correct. Well done. Okay, so say, for example, we have had enough of our test.txt file because we're well and truly sick of it, and we want to delete it. Do you have any idea what the command is to delete it?
Would it be del?
No, not under Unix. But that's a good guess. That's what it is under DOS.
Yep, so that was the only thing I was going on.
That's alright, we're not running DOS here. We're running a real operating system. Okay, to get rid of our test file, we use the command rm, which it means remove. So rm space test.txt. And it's gone. No confirmations, no recycle bin, no are you sure, no how are you feeling today, would you like to see your therapist before you delete it? It's just gone. Alrighty. So, that is how you RM files. Now, say for example that we want to... Actually, let's see if we can fix this time, because that's annoying me. So go SU, and Debian's the password, and then go ntp date, time.nist.gov. Ah, and we don't have ntp date installed. All right. Do you remember how to install a package? apt-get. Install ntp date. apt-get space install space ntp date. Try it again. You might have misspelled it. Ntp date. So apt-get. Are you the super user? Alrighty, now try ntp date space time.nist.gov.
NIST?
Yep. It'll think about it for a second.
No,
let's try ntp date space ntp. Sorry, pool.ntp.org. It doesn't want to do it. Okay, sorry, ntp date space pool, as in the thing you swim in, .ntp.org. Yep. Did it step it?
It did it.
Alright, type in the command date. You should see that it should actually show you the correct time and date.
9:30 or so.
That is 100% correct. I think there is actually an underlying problem that we will fix up at some other point as to why that time is showing up incorrectly. Okay, I know what's going on there, so we'll fix that later on. Alrighty. As you can see, that the virtual machines that we distribute do not have all of the packages that you might need out of the box, so you will be able to install the packages as you need them. I may even look at updating the virtual machine images at some point to make them a little bit more up to date. Now, one of the other things that's worth mentioning is, do you remember how to get at the online documentation?
Yeah, it's our IP address.
Is your microphone shifted?
There, better?
Much better.
Okay. It's our IP address and then /dwww.
Yep, that is 100% correct. Alrighty. Well, just trying to think if there's anything else we want to cover as part of this. Because I think I'll probably just handle the... we'll show you how VI works, because it's nasty. Okay. Control D to get out of your super user prompt. And you're not in etch test tilde dollar. So now we go VI space test.txt.
We don't have it anymore.
We're about to make it.
I got tilde.
That is correct. You're actually sitting on a file that is completely composed of blank lines, and it shows tildes to show you that those blank lines are actually there. Now, there are three modes in VI, and it is vitally important that you know that there are three modes in VI and which mode you are in at any given time. Because if you don't, you will get incredibly confused and bang your head against the nearest brick wall. You are currently in command mode, which means that if you were to press letters on your keyboard, it would actually execute VI commands, which there are a whole stack of them. There's also some movement commands. What we're going to do is we're going to press A for append mode, and we will be in append mode. If you root JAWS to PC and go to your PC cursor, you're actually on a blank line at the top of your screen. And we are going to type hello, this is a test, full stop, and hit enter. Okay, we're now sitting on the next line, and we're going to type this is another test. Okay, now to get out of command mode, hit enter after you've done that. To get out of command mode, we're going to hit escape, and we are now sitting on a tilde. If you up arrow, you'll end up on a blank line, and you can actually up and down arrow onto the various lines that you've typed. Okay, but here's where it gets mental. To actually move around in VI, it's actually got key mappings that allow you to move if your terminal doesn't have arrow keys. Yes, there are terminals without arrow keys. I'm going to tell you these key mappings, and you should never have to use them, but here they are, because if you don't really get the horror of VI unless you know about these. H and L move you left and right. Oh, but remember, JAWS won't tell you where you've moved, because they're not arrow keys.
Okay.
Now, J and K move you up and down by lines. Except you're going to have to use numpad 8 on the right hand to actually see what line you landed on, because JAWS doesn't treat them as arrow keys. Okay, are we having fun yet? This is why I don't recommend people use VI, and I really think they should invest the time in getting used to Ed, because it really is far easier.
Unless you have arrow keys.
Well, the arrow keys do work in VI, as I showed you. Because this is a newer version of VI, you can use the arrow keys to move around with Ed. Okay. But to get out of VI, the arrow keys can move you around in VI. To actually get out of VI, you've got to go into what we call last line mode. Now, to find out what mode you're in, you actually can keep pressing escape until your terminal goes beep. And it should go go ding or beep or something. That means you are in command mode. And that's the easiest way to know whether you're in command mode. If you want to get into last line mode, which will get you out of VI, you go colon. And if you route JAWS to PC and go JAWS cursor, you are actually on the bottom line of the screen with a colon all by itself. Now, to get out and save your test file, you go WQ and hit enter. Hit escape until it goes beep. And then go colon WQ. Yes, a lot of people would like to blame VI for not working properly, but it's generally you haven't hit the right buttons, or it hasn't seen you hit the right buttons, therefore it's not going to do what you want it to. There's a famous quote that says that Unix is a user-friendly operating system, it's just picky with who it's friends with. The only reason we show you VI is because it exists on every Unix system, and if you can do enough in VI to get yourself out of the unhappiness quotient, you can actually get a good editor such as Nano or Pico or whatever installed and get on with your life. And in fact, what we might do, I'll see if I can get organized for this next week, but what we might actually do next week is we might actually give people a demonstration of the GUI aspect of Linux, which I'm sure would interest a lot of our students.
I'd love to do it.
And we will. We might actually get either the new Ubuntu or Vinix and show students how that works. So those are three fairly short lectures, but they should give you a little bit more hands-on introduction to Linux. There's a lot more to learn, there's a lot more to come to terms with, but that should at least give you a feeling for what has to happen. And I will, we'll field any questions on the mailing lists or via Skype or whatever for anybody who's doing IT2 and needs a little bit of help with their lab work. So that's all we have today. Obviously, we are shutting down our Linux machine cleanly. Have you become the super user?
Oh, yeah.
That'll do it.
Catch you later, folks.
Cheerio, Leon.
See you, Leon.
See you, Leon.